Hello and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how you doing today?
I am doing great. I wish we had done a little bit better with the week zero picks, but in spite of that, I'm still doing great.
Yeah, you went 3-3. Mike went 3-4, and I went 2-5. It was tough. It was tough. We had a little bit of a backdoor cover with that San Jose State USC game.
I think you said bury the tape.
I did say bury the tape. Yeah, we're gonna bury the tape week one. I was telling some people this week. The process was good. The execution was where we fell apart a little bit. The process was there. Pick the right teams outside of UMass, New Mexico State, and yep. Jacksonville State, UTEP. Didn't pick the right teams there. All the other games, I'd make the same picks again. I'd make the same exact picks again, and I wouldn't bat an eye. Note to self, apparently Don Brown's team can score 41 points. That's beside the... The Michigan coaches went 3-0 last week. Okay, we're on a week one. We're on to what Obert would call real college football.
Yes, exactly.
And the game to kick us off this week is a very big one. Rice-Eccles Stadium will be bouncing Thursday night. They welcome in the Florida Gators. Lions now 4 points. Utah is now a 4-point favorite. They're the number 14 team in the country, according to the AP poll. Obert, what do you think of this year's rematch of the week one game?
I think Utah takes this. From what I've seen, I mean, this has to be a camerizing injury. So, I mean, this line literally moved 2.5 points. That doesn't just happen because of some bets. So I don't really know what that is. But what I do know is Florida was a bad team last year, even with Anthony Richardson at quarterback. And in, you know, like Napier's, you know, credit, I actually don't think Anthony Richardson was like a premier college football quarterback last year. But having said that, I think he's going to be, or I think he was better than whoever they'll have in line to start this year. I think this is kind of probably going to be the real transition year for Florida. Last year, they still had some remnants of, what's his name? What was the previous coach's name?
Mullen.
Dan Mullen's regime that was still, at least had like pieces of a high caliber team. This year really feels like the start and kind of a barren early tenure Billy Napier team. So I think this could be a hard year, and if it's too bad, you know, Napier might lose his job. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think at least early on they're going to struggle. I would predict this offense to be probably a great deal worse than they were last year, and I think Utah, especially this time of the season, at home, I think it's going to be a very tough place to play. You know, they lost last year's game for lack of a better reason. I mean, they absolutely could not stop the run. And I doubt that will be as much of a factor in this game. I mean, maybe it will be, but they really started to figure that out towards the end of the season last year. Hopefully they can transition that into week one on a Thursday night kick against Florida. So I'll take Utah -4. I'll swallow the 4. I've got no problem doing that. You know what I mean? I like doing that in this circumstance.
You're good at it.
I'm good at that. I'm more known for, you know, taking the points. But in this scenario, I think I'm going to get rewarded for swallowing the 4. And picking Utah.
Yeah, I had Utah, and then I found out Cam Rising likely wasn't going to play, and I went with Florida. I don't know. I don't trust a Utah team that doesn't have any sort of quarterback. You know, it's the kid they've got, Bryson Barnes, has thrown 59 career passes.
Okay.
I do like for them that the game is at home. I thought it was going to be 6.5. And then when I checked, so I heard reports that, you know, Cam Rising wasn't doing too hot, wasn't looking good. And then I went and looked at the line. So I'd already made up my mind. Okay, I'm going to
search. What do you mean he wasn't looking too good?
Like in line for the start.
Okay.
Remember he tore his ACL in the Rose Bowl, and his recovery has not gone as quickly and as seamlessly as they thought. So there's the line was at 6.5, right? And then I was like, okay.
You swallowed that 6.5.
If Cam Rising's starting, right. yes, I would have. And I was like, okay, I'm going to change it because Cam Rising isn't going to start, probably won't even play. I'm going to go with Florida. And then I looked and I saw the line was at 4, and I was like, do I do it? I was like, yeah, I'll still do it. Even if Florida doesn't win this game, I think it'll be close. 3-point Utah win is all I need to get a W here. And I do think that this Florida team might not be, you know, elite at the end of the year. Won't even be good. I would be shocked if they make a bowl game, but I do think that they're going to be a physical team that hangs in a lot of games, and especially week one, where as much as I love Kyle Whittingham, I think, you know, not having their starting quarterback and losing, you know, their best receiving weapon and Dalton Kincaid and Kuthi is looking like he might. What is going on here?
It's so loose. Whatever. Keep going.
Kuthi might not even play either. So I think that it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game, and I'll take Florida. And what's not to win score? Outright, but I will take the points. I think it's probably like a 23-20 Utah win. I don't feel great about this game either way. If can't, I do want to put a contingency on it, but I don't want to be like, you know, that guy that does. But like if Cam Rising starts, I want to take Utah.
Maybe we can get a last second there, because I mean this is still
we just don't 3 days out. We just don't know. Actually, the game's tomorrow.
Oh, good God, yeah, good point.
So you know, if it, because I really feel like this is going to be like 30 minutes before game time. It's like here's who the starting quarterback is, and I'm like, if it's not Cam Rising, I'm going to get screwed by the law. Or if it is Cam Rising, I'm going to get screwed. Yeah. So I do want to put a contingency out there, and maybe it doesn't matter, but I want everybody watching to know that. Regardless of, you know, my pick on the graphic, if Cam Rising starts, I want to take Utah.
Okay.
If he doesn't, I'm going to take Florida, whatever the number is. I just feel a lot more confident about Utah if Cam Rising is starting, even, you know, given their defensive history and offensive line play. Next game we have.
Can I give a final score for Utah?
Oh, yeah, sure.
27-17.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very, very feasible score for this game. By the
way, you know, as much as Kim Rising is good, I hate him. You know what I mean?
Yes, you
so
do.
It's like maybe this is kind of like best case scenario. And I actually kind of think he's a bum, so maybe this helps out Utah.
He's played really well.
Anyway.
He's played really well in those games. Okay, Mike also is going to go Utah. Next game, big noon kickoff. And I can't say, looking at the slate of games, I can't say I'm surprised that it's the big noon kickoff game, considering the storyline. It's Colorado. It's number 17 TCU. TCU 20.5-point favorites at home. You know, if this wasn't Deion Sanders in his first FBS coaching game, you know, this game doesn't have the storyline. But they brought in like 50 some odd transfers, and TCU just played in the national championship game. They lose a lot of guys offensively. The number's 20.5, and you hadn't made a pick up until, I believe, right before we started recording.
Yes.
So explain. It wasn't
because I haven't been thinking about this game. I've actually been thinking about this game more than the others. I am just very low on both of these teams.
Yeah.
And I actually think this is a good number. So I don't think TCU is going to be very good this year. They're replacing a lot of players, especially their best ones. Quentin Johnston, Max Duggan. I mean, as much as Max Duggan, you know, wasn't really the NFL guy, he absolutely was a Heisman candidate last year. So, I mean, we're talking huge losses, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that are absolutely going to be difficult to replace. And I don't think their quarterback's going to be that bad, but like people are like, oh, well, he won the battle over Max Duggan. Yeah, Jack Plummer won the battle over Aiden O'Connell. Like, that's not like, oh, yeah, they're on the same level. No, that's not how that works. This happens all the time, especially in college football. It's like there can be mid quarterbacks who beat great quarterbacks because the coach has some sort of, you know, weird, I don't know, fantasy of what this this backup quarterback is going to be, because they're just not seeing things, or they need a second opinion, or whatever the story is. We've seen this all the time. It's not like he's this hidden gem, hidden back. Maybe he is, but I mean, the odds of him being Max Duggan are very low. So that respect, I don't think TCU is a top 25 team in football this year. I think they're probably a top 40 team. And in Colorado's perspective, I don't think they're a sneaky team to win the Pac-12 or go 8-4 even. I think they're likely a 4-8 team or even a 3-9 team. So like, there's like, I probably think TCU goes 6-6 or 7-5. I probably think Colorado goes 3-9. In the end, I actually do think this number is really good, and that's why it's difficult. I do think Deion will really want to, and I don't know, you know, everyone wants to play well in week one, but for a guy who has had such a huge buildup, and it is so important that I think Colorado plays well in week one after doing all the things that, you know, he wanted them to do. I think at least for appearances' sake, it's very important that this game isn't an absolute blowout. And so in that respect, I think Colorado keeps this close enough, but I think it could absolutely be a 41-21 type game or something along those lines. I think it could be right at the number. As of right now, I'll say 41-24, and Colorado barely covers this 20.5 number. I think TCU doesn't really have a lot of issues in this game because I think Colorado will be a bad FBS team,
yeah,
or at least Power 5 team. But I think Dion and the Buffaloes do just enough to get inside this number.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about, I'm also going to go with Colorado to cover this. There's no way they're winning this game. When you talk about, you know, the amount of turnover in college football these days with the transfer portal, both these teams are transfer heavy on both sides of the ball. And when you're a team like TCU that just played in the national championship game, your guys are going to leave to go to the draft more likely than stay, right? So some of the guys obviously were seniors, but they lose Amari DeMercado. They lose Kendre Miller. They lose Quentin Johnson. They lose Max Duggan and Steve Avila. So you're replacing your five best offensive players.
Right.
And Chandler Morris was the guy who started last year. Didn't look that good, and you know, I think I can't remember if he got hurt or if he got benched at the beginning of the season, which allowed Max Duggan to come in. But like, there's a reason that, you know, once Max Duggan got in there, Chandler Morris didn't come back because Max Duggan played that well, and Chandler Morris, I just don't believe in him in the way that I did Max Duggan. To at least like grit, his quarterback ability might be on the same level, but I don't know if he's quite the leader and like the gritty, you know, he's going to stick his nose in there until the end kind of guy that, you know, Max Duggan really was for this team and one of the big reasons that we're playing in the national championship game. As for the defense side of the ball, you lose a bunch of guys on the back end. Travis Hodges-Tomlinson is one. So you have to replace guys. Colorado literally is a completely new team. Right. You know, outside of, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, I really don't know what they are. Right. And I don't even think Shedeur Sanders is going to be, you know, an elite level FBS quarterback. Travis Hunter was the number one recruit, and I think it was the 21 class. He's going to be legit. And, you know, he might play both ways. I don't know how much, but he'll be, you know, one of the best corners in football, in college football, and he'll be a top 100 receiver in this sport, probably, depending on how much he plays. So I think that with both of those things, and you lose Garrett Riley, I imagine Sonny Dykes probably calls the plays. I don't know who their new OC is. I think it was an internal hire. I think it's just going to be an ugly game, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if TCU hit that 20 number. But I really see it being like a 31-17, 31-20 kind of game where it's not really close because Colorado doesn't have the line play to keep up. They just right. don't. They're not good enough across the fronts. They didn't bring in enough talent. And frankly, I don't know if I trust Dion to be able to coach it very well. I'm going to go with Colorado to cover, but lose. And it's not like it's a close game. I think they get handled pretty easily. Next game. This is probably the game I'm most excited for outside of the obvious LSU Florida State, but I found out today that it's at Bank of America, so it's not at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I thought it, for whatever reason, that they were playing it in Columbia, but it's a neutral site game in North Carolina. North Carolina Tar Heels, the number 21 team in the country, are taking on a team I feel like was probably snubbed from the top 25 in South Carolina. North Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite. And man, I'll tell you what, this is a game that it's exciting because of what we think both teams can be.
Right.
And the kind of promise that South Carolina showed at the end of the year, and of course, for North Carolina having one of the best quarterbacks in college football.
Right.
They do lose their offensive coordinator. They lose a couple guys to the NFL draft on the offensive side of the ball, and their defense was one of the worst in college football last year. Right. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going South Carolina. Listen, I get a lot of the hype with North Carolina, but you look especially towards the end of last season and the directions that these two teams were heading. I absolutely believe more in South Carolina than I do in North Carolina. I think North Carolina, especially towards the end of the season, sort of got exposed for kind of being a very mediocre sort of team. outside of the ACC and even inside of the ACC. I mean, they got crushed by Clemson, and we all know how they had their woes in the ACC championship game. Outside of that fourth quarter and some absolute heroics by Drake May,
yeah,
didn't look very good against Oregon in the Holiday Bowl. And meanwhile, South Carolina was kind of the opposite. Did beat Clemson at Clemson. Did play a great game against Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Even though I think they did come out on the losing end of that.
They did, yes.
Beat Tennessee, you know.
63 to whatever right, the final was.
Just crushed Tennessee. So, listen, people are like, oh, for the majority of the season, Spencer Rattler was a bad quarterback. Yeah, and then he got good at the end of the season. I mean, like I know I'm not trying to be like recency bias here, but when a quarterback is kind of moving in that direction, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, he is what he is at the start of the season because there's more of a because there's a larger sample size for that time. Well, maybe he improved throughout the season. And only God knows how, you know, how much he's improved as the training camp has gone on. So I think the South Carolina team really surprises some people. And I think they win this game outright. I'll say 28. No, I think it'll be more high scoring than that. I'll say 38-31 South Carolina.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the South Carolina outright, too. I just think as much as I, you know, hype North Carolina up in the preseason, I don't believe in the ACC. The bottom half of it, I believe in Florida State, I believe in Clemson. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in many other teams in that conference to compete outside of that conference.
Yeah.
And so when you have a team like South Carolina, who I expect to be very competitive in a very good SEC, it's like the number to me doesn't make a ton of sense.
Mm-mm.
And I think it's Vegas just undervaluing South Carolina because with North Carolina's defense, I mean, South Carolina proved that they could throw the ball at the end of the season. They hired Dowell Logans to be their offensive coordinator this year after they changed play calling duties towards the back half of last year, and it worked. Last year, the moment they changed play calling duties, they put up 63 points against Tennessee. And I know Tennessee's defense wasn't, you know, the end all be all, but like, that was the most points they'd given up all year. And I think we're going to see that Spencer Rattler more this year. And they got a true freshman, Nicholas Harbor, who was a 5-star. Unbelievable freak athlete, dude. 6'5". I believe he's like 234 and can run a 4.440.
Woo.
He's unbelievable. I don't know how much we'll see him play on Saturday, but you will see him play, and he will make plays. Now, they do lose Jaheim Bell, who was their number one tight end and their number one receiving threat. Maybe not by the statistics, but he was the most talented player on that offense, which is tough, but I feel like with the other cast of characters that they have, they'll be able to, you know, especially take advantage of a very, very bad North Carolina secondary. I mean, if I'm South Carolina, I am going to throw the ball all over the place. If I haven't thrown the ball 45 times by the end of the game, it's either because I'm up too many points to do so in the second half, or it's because I'm losing.
Right.
Because there's no way that this team runs the ball, you know, 35 times on a defense that can't defend the pass.
Right.
Right. So, and as good as North Carolina's offense can be, we don't know if Dontez. I think it's Dontez Walker. We don't know if he's going to play. His waiver is still pending, and the NCAA transfer board, for whatever reason, you know, the NCAA being a absolute corrupt body of governing body that does nothing but hinder student athletes. And so I think that ultimately it might not even be that like close of a game in terms of the final score, but I think that, you know, a 45-35, 45-38 type game is going to be high scoring. I don't imagine it being close.
By the way, and I'm sure we'll do this again this year, but we did AP polls after every week.
We will do it.
I would expect whoever wins this game to shoot way up top 25s. With a win like this, whoever wins it, either way across the board, this is a high caliber win, one of the best wins of week one. Expect either of these two teams to be up in
unless they both look like crap.
Yes, unless they both look like that.
Mike's also going with South Carolina too, so yeah, we got back-to-back games where we all picked the same. However, this game, we do not. It's actually the same lines that we picked on last year.
Is that right?
LSU, number 5 LSU, number 8 Florida State. Last year during this game, I don't think either of them was ranked.
Right.
And it was the kickoff classic, the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic. And we're doing it again. This time it's in Orlando, Florida, but they're top 10 teams. And we all, based off of last season, know why they're top 10 teams. And the hype for both of them has only gotten greater over the course of the past, you know, 6-7 months.
I would say they've earned it mainly.
Absolutely, 100%. Is that all you wanted to say? I thought you were going into a thought here.
No, not really. I mean, LSU won the SEC West. Florida State went 11-2. So
LSU is laying 2.5 points. LSU travels really well, even though this is in Florida. I was going to say...
Is it in Florida?
Yes, it's Orlando. So cool. I don't expect it to be a Florida State heavy crowd, but I would say it's probably 60-40, maybe 55-45, yeah. Because those LSU fans, man, they travel and they show up and show out. So 2.5 points. I already kind of spoiled it, but explain why you like LSU in this game.
Yeah, I like LSU. I think their defense... and especially their D-line will provide issues to an offense that loves to pass the ball as much as Florida State's does. I think it's Jordan Travis, right? Yep. I think his mobility helps him out, but the fastest player on the field is going to be Harold Perkins. You know what I mean? So it's like he can run, but he's not getting past 4.3 speed Harold Perkins. We saw what he did in his first game, or in his breakout game against Arkansas. And I know what you're thinking. He was there last year. Why didn't he make plays against Florida State last year? Because it was his first game ever. He was a true freshman. He's sitting behind guys like B.J. Ojulari. You know what I mean? He's not getting the reps. But in this game and in this respect, I think he could have a huge game and play really well. And I want to watch him, and I want to root for him, quite frankly.
That's fair.
And so that's part of the reason why I picked LSU. But I also think this team is going to be very good. They played well in a lot of big spots last year, especially middle-ish and then towards the end of the season. And I think Brian Kelly generally has his teams ready to go early on. So I'll go with LSU to win this game. I think it's going to be very close. I'm high on both teams, as I outlined in my preseason rankings and lists. I think I had LSU winning the West and Florida State finishing second in the ACC right behind Clemson, but both of which at 11-2 or 11-1. Yeah. So very high on both teams. I think whoever loses this game, it will be one of their only losses of the entire season. Florida State has some really dynamic playmakers, which could provide LSU some difficulties. But, Jane Daniels also at times provided defenses with difficulties in his own right. So I just think it's going to be a great game and a couple of really talented teams. But I think LSU wins, I'll say, 27-24.
I like that. Okay. So we're going to be sweating it out till the end.
Yeah.
Like last year. That was probably the most fun that we had watching a game because of the point spread.
And because if it makes it, it's like it would have been 50-50 at that point unless it got to like triple or quadruple overtime.
Exactly.
So that was just such a huge moment. And LSU really came back from the absolute dead in that game.
That was crazy.
We're talking 0.01% chance. And damn near won it. I mean, so really one of the best games of college football, and it happened week one. It was awesome.
I'm going with Florida State. Listen, I think that Florida State's the better team. Just straight up, I do. I think, not having Mason Smith is a huge loss for LSU. I mean, you're talking about your best defensive lineman. He's not going to be there. Suspended because of a 2021 autograph signing that he did, pre-NIL, but, because the NCAA is just stupid, it's like, let's punish him after the fact, 2 years after the fact. And he tore his ACL last year, so he hasn't been on a football field. By next week, he hasn't been on the football field in over a year. And game time, I should say, because he did practice. But when you talk about what Florida State was able to do in the transfer portal, getting Fenchel Cypress on defense, one of the best portal guys or portal defensive backs in last year's class. He's a Virginia cornerback that they're going to bring in, and he's going to be huge for them. Obviously, keeping Jared Verse is also a big thing. But the offensive side of the ball, when you talk about Jordan Travis, you talk about running back Trey Benson. And that's not even mentioning, they got the Jaheim Bell was transferred to Florida State from South Carolina. So they got an elite tight end. Elite talent level tight end. Whether or not he puts up elite stats is a different question. But their wide receiving core in terms of Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson and Kentron Portier, who are all 6'3 or taller and can run and play the jump ball. It's like, how are you supposed to defend that? And LSU's got to do it with all transfer guys. They do not have a single returning guy in their secondary, or at least in their corner room, that is going to play big time. And The Texas A&M transfer, something Harris, I think, is his name. He's got dismissed from the team, so he's not going to be there. He's probably the most talented of the bunch, even though he had some attitude issues. Denver Harris, that's his name, to put it lightly. So
where's he from?
He's from Texas A&M.
Yeah, what city did he grow up in?
I don't know.
Denver?
No. No, he definitely didn't grow up in Denver.
That would have been cool.
So I think at the end of the day, I'm going to take what I believe is a more talented offense in terms of Florida State's, because with LSU, it's Jaden Daniels and it's Malik Nabers, and they got a bunch of unproven guys. Maybe not unproven, they just haven't shown it yet. Oh, no, unproven is the word I was looking for. Unproven guys that, you know, they could show up, and LSU would love to have them, but I know what I'm getting when I talk about this Florida State team and offense, whereas with the LSU, outside of the quarterback and Malik Nabers, it's like you can only do so much with two guys. So I'm going to go with Florida State to cover.
There's
and
another
win.
Guy you can rely on that defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, Harold Perkins, but like as good as he was against Arkansas, this ain't Arkansas.
Okay, but you know, he also played great in other games too. 7 sacks in the season as a true freshman.
Yeah, but how many of them were against Arkansas? Three?
Hey,
four?
You know that's more than? It was, yeah, it's like three and a half probably. But that's more than?
Half a sacks in one game.
Tyree Wilson last year.
Yeah. And?
I feel like you weren't as much of a Tyree Wilson guy by the end of that.
Listen,
by the end
Tyree of Wilson, talks. Tyree Wilson, we literally covered him on when we did our draft show. It was like he was not, his pass rush ability was not great. Like it was the tools that you loved. He wasn't, Harold Perkins, don't get me wrong, is the best defensive player in college football.
A stud. But
like he's one guy on a team of 11.
Yep.
I don't know how much he's going to be able to do. He'll make some plays.
He's going to make some plays.
Is he going to be able to stop the entire offense by himself? No.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. You're a huge Harold Perkins fan.
Hey, he got me at least, I think it was at least a push in that game. I think, because I think they won by 3 and that was like the number
yes,
we got or something.
Yes. I think it might have been like 3 or 3.5 or 4, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
And I got screwed over. Okay, last game. So that game's on Sunday night, the Florida State LSU game. This game's on Monday night. Clemson at Duke. So this is the number 9 team in the country, taking on Mike Elko and company, a Duke team that went 9-3 last year. Did they win their bowl game? I don't remember.
Like they might have lost.
I think they went 9-4 as their final record. They're 13-point dogs at home. I don't know, man. This one smells kind of fishy, this line.
Yeah. It does smell kind of fishy. I think, yeah, they went 9-4 last year. Okay. Yeah, a really good regular season for Duke last year. This was a very solid team that you kept looking at only as a team that was like, that's a good win if you had beaten them, because we were looking for like good wins in the ACC, you know? And that was pretty much the only time that I really talked about them, watched them, looked at them, was as a resume builder for the few teams that actually beat them. So props to Duke. But I think, as we saw with a lot of teams, they just, outside of ACC play, just weren't quite what kind of...
Yeah, man, they beat Northwestern.
Did beat UCF in the Military Bowl, so I guess they went 8-4. But they beat Northwestern?
They did beat Northwestern. Remember Evan Hull fumbled the ball on the like 2-yard line as they were going in to win the game?
One of the 11 teams that beat Northwestern.
Hey, Nebraska didn't.
Nope. No, they did not. I'm going to go with Clemson. I think this is an interesting number. I think Duke at home, you know, especially if Clemson is the team they were last year, would definitely be the pick. But I think this is a much different Clemson team than it was last year. And I think Cade Klubnik coming back, Will Shipley coming back, some continuity at wide receiver, although not a ton of talent. And then you add with one of the best offensive minds in college football last year, Garrett Riley. I think
some might say the best.
Some might say the best.
Some might say better than his stupid brother.
No, I would not. And I think anybody who does think that is stupid. No, but what I would say is a lot of Clemson season was ugly last year, and a lot of it was just like they were just skating along, and when they played really great teams at times, they were just getting absolutely smoked. But I think that's going to change a lot this year, and I think against kind of mediocre teams, and I hate to say that about Duke, but I think in the national landscape, that's kind of the direction I would say. I think they're going to handle business a lot better. And I think they win these sorts of games, even though it's a tricky number with 13, by more points. And I think Clemson wins this game, especially with their defense, which certainly in the beginning of the year always seems to come out well. They did in the Georgia Tech game. And I think they win this game, I will say 34-17.
Okay. By the way, Mike's going with Florida State. Mike's also going with Clemson. I, however, am going with Duke. So I went all underdogs this week.
Did you?
I did. By changing my Florida pick, I went all under, or changing my Utah pick, I went all underdogs. Listen, Clemson's got to replace literally their entire defensive line. I mean, like, we're talking about, I think they're replacing three out of the four, mainstay starters. They do keep Jeremiah Trotter, who's probably going to be the best linebacker in all of college football. My problem with this team is not the defensive side of the ball, because I do believe in the talent they continuously bring in, and I trust Dabo's system. However, the offensive side of the ball is disgusting to look at. And even with Garrett Riley, I think that weeks one through five or six, it's going to take a while because they don't have the talent in the wide receiver room. Cade Klubnik can only be so good with that kind of weaponry around him. There's a reason that, after Trevor Lawrence's freshman year, he didn't quote unquote look as good. It's because they didn't have the guys. It was literally Travis Etienne, and they're kind of in the same boat now. Cade Klubnik could be, the next coming. He's not, but he could be the next coming of Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson in that loaded Clemson quarterback history. But his only offensive talent right now is Will Shipley, and you really can't do much with that. So as good as I think that Garrett Riley is going to be in however long he's there, whether it's the long term, whether it's, 1 or 2 years, it's probably more likely to be 1 or 2 years. I think that Duke is more equipped game one to be better offensively, especially with returning quarterback Riley Leonard, who was, very underrated last year. Mike Elko is a coach that, if you don't know his name now, you will by the end of the season, because, he's going to be in those big name schools discussions when, say somebody fires their coach. I don't know who at this point. He's going to be a name that pops up like, hey, maybe we go after Mike Elko. Look what he's done at the Duke program. And it's not easy to win at Duke. It's not. I would know. I won a national championship there.
So would that be evidence that it is easy to win at Duke?
Are you kidding me? Every other year I went like 8-4. It was tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough to get recruits there.
Elko wins a national championship?
No. I'm the greatest coach of all time. So he's not.
Okay.
He's good.
He's good.
He's a good coach, maybe even great, but he's not the best of the best. He's not the GOAT like me. So that's where the difference is. I am the GOAT.
Wait, how many national championships do you have compared to Nick Saban?
I've got like...
We're talking about NCAA 14.
Listen, I don't lose in the national championship game. Nick Saban does, so that's the difference.
All right. It's like the MJ thing.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I think that I trust Duke at least to keep it close. At home, night game. I honestly think the stands are going to be packed. I think I saw somewhere that Duke's got a sold out crowd for football, which is kind of crazy. Camera crazies will not be there, unfortunately.
No.
But I do think they're able.
Still might be going crazy though.
Still might be going crazy, but they won't be Cameron. I think they keep it within the 13 points. I mean, you're telling me I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Right.
And then I get a push on 13?
Then you get a push on 13. I mean, think about that. I got to swallow 13.
You got to swallow 13. I'll take that. I'll take that. Especially week one. It's like the reason why I'm kind of – well, so the reason why I went all underdogs is because I think that South Carolina and Florida State went outright. So that was pretty easy for me. For the Colorado game in this game, I just think that they're going to cover, right? I think ugly, lower scoring games is going to be kind of the theme this week, especially with the teams that, we don't know a ton about. If Georgia or Ohio State or Alabama were playing teams that were a little bit tougher, I would be saying the same thing because we don't know what they are at quarterback, right? And it's the most important position. You can win without a quarterback, but it's really tough.
Yeah.
Michigan proved it.
Yep. Yes, they did.
Little Cade McNamara shot, as much as I love him. So I'm going to go with Duke to cover the 13. I say the final score is 24.
Wow. It is low scoring.
to 16.
Okay.
Wacky one. I like it. Wacky. Yeah, no, I just don't trust that Clemson offense yet.
Okay.
It's like, it's going to be one of those things where they're going to have to prove it to me first before I, because I bought into them so many times last year, yep, and they just completely burned me. Yeah, maybe it's a little PTSD pick. You okay. know, I don't want to be burned again. But I'm okay with doing that week one. And then we'll get into week seven, and I'm like 10 games below 500, and it's like, well, look what you've done. okay, we're going to get into locks and underdogs. Obert, who is your lock?
My lock is Rutgers -6.5 at home against Northwestern. This is an interesting one.
I feel like this is like a formula. Just pick against Northwestern.
Yeah, I think Northwestern is going to be so bad this year. I mean, they went 1-11 last year and then had the most dramatic offseason in college football probably since Penn State, maybe. What? I don't know what the
in terms of one Baylor.
Since Baylor, maybe.
Dark Brails
thing. And we know how difficult it was for those teams to overcome, especially early. I mean, I think, you know, Baylor had a loss to, like, Liberty or something.
Yeah, Baylor.
Like,
it was so Matt Rule took it over right after. Mm-hmm. Right after the Art Briles situation. And the first year, they won, like, two games.
Right.
And then he turned it around. But, like, the first year was brutal.
Right. And then you look at Penn State and, you know, lost to us. They lost to Ohio, you know. So, so they had some really, and Virginia, and they just
Ohio State went 6-6. Remember,
right.
yeah.
So it's really hard in these situations. And then coming off of a year where it's one of the worst years in Northwestern football history, which is saying something. Like it is, I would expect this to be an ugly, ugly year. And maybe I'm just wrong on this. And they rally together and they say we are Northwestern football and we're just gonna, you know, keep fighting.
Yeah.
But I don't see it. It's not a very talented team in the first place,
no,
right?
No,
and you throw
not.
An absolute bombshell in that locker room, and it was a bombshell. No head coach. I don't even know what their head coach now, what his job was, but I don't think it's going to be a very smooth transition, especially in year one. And then you think about Rutgers, and it's kind of just, just like total good American class football, you know, with Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
And it just being all about, you know, organized, punch you in the mouth sort of football. I think Rutgers could sort of run all over Northwestern and win this game 34-10.
Let me ask you
that
a question.
That sounds crazy, but I think Northwestern's going to be awful.
Did you go hunting for Northwestern, or was it kind of just you were scrolling and you saw it?
Scrolling. Had a couple of games in mind. I did like Houston. Oh, no, I think that Houston was an underdog, though, so I couldn't take them. But I did want to pick Houston, decided against it. And then I did see this game, and I just thought to myself, wow, I thought Vegas would hate Northwestern more, and I thought this line would be closer to about, I don't know, 10.5.
How many points
like
would
that.
You take it at? What's the max amount of points that you
like, I wouldn't have taken this game if it was 9.5 or,
okay.
like,
okay.
10.5,
okay.
like, as my lock. Yeah, I would have found a better game I liked. But, like, if it was like you have to take Northwestern or Rutgers, I would take Rutgers at probably 13.
Okay.
I mean, like a lot of points.
That
so,
feels right.
In this scenario, Rutgers stuck out to me as a team, especially at home. Like, I think they win this game pretty easily, but we'll see.
Mike's going with Cal, 7-point favorites at North Texas.
Yeah, I hate this pick. You
at
know,
North Texas.
Folks, we have our NCAA 14 dynasty.
Well, he says in parentheses, sorry, boys.
Yeah, he says in parentheses, sorry, boys. He is the North Texas coach. Imagine if I picked against Fresno last year. I mean, you know, our first destination as a collective and or UConn.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that.
But I wrap my arms around those teams because I'm loyal. And I just want to say this because it was actually funny. But Bryce lost to Michigan yesterday, and it beat him up so much inside. As a coach, in our fictional world, he made his players run 100 yards for every yard they gave up in Michigan's 36-second, 75-yard game-winning touchdown drive to win 37-34. You got that right. Bryce is at Georgia, not at Michigan.
Yep.
He's at Georgia and lost to Michigan, his alma mater, his dream school.
Yep.
Don't tell his players.
Don't tell my players, please.
On a last-second game-winning slip-screen 13-yard touchdown pass. What does he do in retaliation to his players? Like I said, running. No, not just running. Sprinting 100-yard gassers for every yard they gave up in their 75-yard touchdown drive, the Michigan drive, to win.
Before and after practice.
Before and after practice. Oh.
Sunday through Friday.
Oh, maybe that doesn't sound so bad. Oh, yeah? That's 4.3 miles. Every single day. Not once, but twice. After what I can only imagine is a two-a-day grueling...
No, we don't do two-a-days.
No, two-a-days?
I can't. They have school. they have classes that they have to take in order for them to be eligible, NCAA eligible.
Oh,
so.
My gosh, man. But what did you do in practice?
Well, I told you that my offense strictly practiced running stretch plays.
Okay.
Just because I wanted them to just run.
Exactly.
My you know what my defense did? They worked on covering the boundaries on passing plays in the 2 minutes. I was
just furious.
Furious. And tackling. And tackling.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Pursuit, tackling, and learning how to stop a freaking pass from going out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. And so I did a little math on this. You know, that's 8.6 miles every day. I think you said, what, 5 days of practice?
Yeah, that would be 5 days.
We're looking at around 43.
Actually, no, it would have been six.
Six?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, we're looking at, like, two full marathons. 26 miles is one marathon. Bryce had his players run.
Hey, it worked.
Somewhere around 52, 53 miles off the top of my head. Whoa.
And it worked.
I mean, 53 miles in a week. They ran two marathons, and listen, that doesn't include practice. Wow.
Listen, and it worked.
And then they won the next week, 63-17. And you're like, oh, that might have been an overreaction. That was his first loss in 3 years.
Listen, I don't take losing lightly. There's a reason that I don't lose.
He hates losers. He hates it.
I don't like this pick on an actual college football level.
Yeah.
I think that North Texas is a solid group of five team this year. Cal's not a very good Pac-12 team. They're not a good FBS team.
Yeah, they're
like
lost some talent.
They're probably like bottom 15. Yeah. Obviously losing Jack Plummer, who was awesome for them last year. That's a big loss.
Right.
Also, I wonder what he did to get his waiver transfer accepted.
Yeah.
And not a Dontez Walker. It's interesting. But you're and then the Cal's going to North Texas. They're right. Playing at North Texas. You know what this kind of feels like? Hmm. This kind of feels like Iowa State coming to play us.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of feels like to me. So I don't love that pick. My pick, however, is Texas Tech going to Wyoming.
Kind of similar,
except Texas Tech's legit.
Yep.
They're a good football program. And honestly, I think this spread it's 14 and a half right now. It was 14 literally like this morning, and then it jumps half
back
a point
to 14 and a half.
I think it should be like 22 and a half. I think that Texas Tech wins by 24 to 28 points in this game, and that's on the low end. I think that they're a legit team, and I don't think Wyoming knows what's coming. I mean, Wyoming's going to be like a mid-tier Mountain West team at best, and they're going to get ran through the meat grinder of this game. And when I saw this line, I was like, yep, I'm taking that. I feel like Vegas is absolutely disrespecting Texas Tech, and hopefully I can make some money on them early in the season as they continue to do so, because it just kind of feels like that's what they're going to do. I think they were plus 70 to make it to the Big 12 championship game.
Plus 700?
Or plus 750.
750.
Gotcha. That's what it is.
Just, plus 70.
Yep, that's an interesting number. No, they were plus 750 preseason to make the Big 12 championship game. Yeah. So I just think Vegas is underrating Texas Tech. Underdogs, go.
Quickly, I have Nebraska and Minnesota. I just don't think Minnesota is going to be that good. I think they're going to be an average Big Ten team. They've kind of been that the past year or two under PJ Fleck. I don't think there's a lot of offensive talent. It doesn't feel like there has been for a while. They haven't really been able to figure out that quarterback position. But I think, you know, even with a lot of turnover that Nebraska's gone through, I believe in Matt Rhule. I believe that Nebraska kind of gets back to where they've been in the past. And I don't know if they win this game, but I like their chances. So yep. I'm taking Nebraska plus 7 on the road.
This was my contingency pick. So I completely agree with you. I really love this pick. Mike's going with Miami of Ohio as 16.5-point dogs. Side note, only 16.5-point dogs. I know Miami's supposed to be good this year, but...
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, really?
At Florida, yeah, that's crazy.
At Miami, Florida... you know, this is kind of a crazy line, and Mike, you know, picking the Red Hawks is a little interesting. He usually likes to pick his MAC teams, but
yeah, I hate that too on an emotional level again.
Yeah.
I mean, our biggest rival, I think that's really inexcusable. Imagine if I picked IU at Ohio State. That, again, inexcusable. Period.
But he can get 3 points here, so
maybe
it was the game that he liked the most.
That's not even a very good number for
it's really not. No, like
and, high
and,
tens.
And I noticed
neither is Nebraska, but
and no, you're right. But I mean, early in the season, you're not really hunting for those big numbers. Right. You just want winners, right?
Right.
Which is why I'm literally taking the bare minimum 3.5 point dog Hawaii at home against Stanford. I think Stanford's going to be one of the worst teams in the Power Five this year. And I think Hawaii, given how they played against Vanderbilt, who, yes, Vanderbilt isn't, you know, an insane program, but like they're going to be better this year. Only losing that game by 7 after traveling across the country, given everything that's happened in Hawaii and the rain delay, they played really well. They looked really good. Their quarterback is something Shager. I didn't stay up for the entire game. I didn't really have my eyes on it, but I did watch it back, and I liked the way they looked a lot. So I'm going to go with them to beat out Stanford outright. You know, I think being at home after last week, having already played, I think it sets them up. It's a little rust versus rust type situation. I think it sets them up to pull a nice little win here. I wouldn't call it an upset because it's only 3.5 points, but I do like them as an underdog this week.
By the way, Stanford has to travel.
Stanford's got to travel to Hawaii. Yep. A little time zone. I think it's a 2-hour time zone change for them.
Okay.
Which, you know, time zones don't really matter anymore. Like people, you know, teams are much more apt to deal with those than they used to be, but I do like Hawaii to win this game. And I'll take 2 points.
Hey, you know what? Any change is not good change, right? Any change is bad change.
Here. In terms of
jet lag, in terms of traveling, right? Any factor.
So that's the week one picks. So only one show this week. We will have two at the very minimum next week, probably just two. It'll be NFL predictions, and then we'll also, so normally our pick'em shows will go up on Friday, but this week, obviously, giving the Florida-Utah game, it's got to go up on Thursday, and then next week, we're going to have to get it up before Thursday as well, because the NFL kickoff game, Lions-Chiefs, we got to pick that game too. So we'll have that one up on Thursday morning as well, but after that, expect them on Friday, and then we'll start. After week one, we'll start getting into Civil War more and our takeaways. But NFL predictions and NFL week one, college football week two next week.
Week one takeaways, but I guess we could do that.
In NFL predictions. You're right. No. Yep, absolutely. We can do that. I completely forgot that was a thing.
Yep.
Nice. So we might actually have three. We'll keep you posted. Good?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.